goes up. We have 5 cameras going out of here all around the world. And I'm waiting on the thumbs up. Great. And ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Over here. Over here. Back here in the back. Turn in your Bibles, whether you're a paper Bible saved or digital Bible saved, it's all the Word of God. Whatever you're using, turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 8. As I continue to preach in your hearing, the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's Problem of the Color Line, Part 29, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 83. First John, it's all about the Word of God, not us, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and what they want done. First John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Holy Father God, unfortunately, so many people are apparently who claim to be believers in Christ are still walking in darkness. For they still have hatred in their hearts towards their brother and their sister. And they don't understand the meaning of the beloved community, the Christian community we are talking about, not humanity, not the world. And so, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon us in your church today, who have perpetuated this evil, this darkness. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us of our sins. Thank you for those, white, black, brown, red, and yellow, who are working against it, who are saying something about it, who got it right in their hearts, and they're trying to help others get their hearts right. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for those whom you have called to deal with this issue. And everybody is not called to it. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the power of your Holy Spirit will sit down upon us and in your church and break us and make us and mold us and crush us, and help us to be humble, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to get back to you, our first love, so that we can love as we should. For strangely, because of even other sins, we can somehow get discombobulated and get out of sync and begin to commit other sins such as hatred. And Lord, because sin has a way to grow in different ways like a cancer. One sin leads to another sin. This is one of the reasons why you hate sin, and you hate sin in our lives, and we should hate sin, because it's amazing how sin can grow very rapidly in our lives. Before you know it, we're saying things and doing things we never thought we would do, even as believers. So Lord, help us to repent. Help us to, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see ourselves, and help us to look in the mirror of your holy word, and help us to change from the inside out by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, and so that another soul can be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Pardon me. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. D.A. Carson said the salvation secured by Christ in the gospel is more comprehensive than justification alone. It brings repentance. Yes, sir. The salvation that is in Christ, my dear friends, Dr. D.A. Carson says, brings repentance. Yes, sir. Yes, sirree. You can believe that. Repentance. It brings repentance. Once you get saved, repentance ought to be happening. By the way, I believe that you really can't repent unless you have this salvation first. It goes together. This is why when I lead people in prayer, I lead them to Christ, and then I have them to pray to Christ and to God. Lord, help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life. See, you can only do that with the strength of God. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't do it without the aid of the power of the Holy Spirit. You need salvation first. You need Jesus first. You need the power of the Holy Spirit first. And this is what Dr. D.A. Carson is saying. This salvation brings repentance. But wait a minute, he's not done. It brings repentance. It also brings wholeness. Oh yes. There's nothing more beautiful than wholeness. Some of you are jacked up because you're not made whole. You don't have wholeness going on about you. You're half-baked and you're half-cocked. And that's why you're still mad as the devil and angry with people and hate people. See, the salvation that's in Christ brings wholeness. And it brings love, he says, for brothers and for sisters in the Christian community. There's something wrong somewhere in your life if you hate somebody. Now, I do believe that there are generational curses, that people have sinned so badly in the past that it impacts the generation that's living right now. And we all struggle with something. So we cannot rule out people struggling with something, see. But what I say to people all the time, as long as you're struggling, we're all right. As long as you're struggling. I've been saved and preaching now for 40 years. I still struggle with beautiful, fine women being tempted to this day. I thought once I got to my age that would pass away. I thought I would be so spiritual that I would not be enticed by the beautiful form that God made women in. It's absolutely amazing to me. And if some of my evangelical, holy, super spiritual Christian brothers would tell the truth, they struggle with it too. But we are so prone to lying and acting like we're so holy that we don't struggle with anything. But so many struggle with it and do it and mess up everything. But that's my struggle. That's my temptation. And I think and I believe that you're going to die struggling with something. I know that's not popular in evangelical circles. And so you may be struggling with hatred because your grandfather hated niggers. Or your grandmother hated honkies. I know you don't like it, but that's what you say. That's what you call people. Hated black folk. Hated white folk. Hated Mexicans. Some of the most hated people in America today are our Mexican brethren. Some of the greatest people in the world. You may be struggling with that. As long as you're struggling, Christian, that's fine, but you need to overcome it. Every day I have to fight. Every day of my life I have to fight and have to struggle. And by the grace of God, God gives me the victory over that besetting sin, that weight, that temptation that I have to deal with in my flesh. And you might be struggling with hatred. You might hate me. Some of you hate, you don't hate black folk. In fact, you're white, but you love black folk more than you love your own family, your own people. You distrust your own folk. Some of you hate family members. And you have demonic thoughts about them. But see, if you're born again, that's the point of this passage. If you're saved, repentance will happen, wholeness will happen, love will happen. You may struggle with something, you may be in a battle, but you will overcome by the grace of God and by His agape love. Beloved, in our last message in this series, we looked at how we as Christians ought to exemplify the new era of Christ that he brought about, the love era, the agape love era, where you love people who are unlovely. And by the way, you, your family will not last if you don't have this God kind of love. Listen to me very carefully. Okay? Hear me well. Your family will not last. There's no way it will last. It will be destroyed if you don't have this God kind of love, this agape love. Dr. C.S. Lewis wrote about it. Some say he discovered it in the book, The Four Loves. This agape love where it does not want anything from you. It just loves you for you. That does not mean it's not going to rebuke you and chastise you if you're unlovely and unlovable in your behavior. And he dealt with that. It was C.S. Lewis, not Dr. Dobson, that said, basically, that love must be tough. Now somebody else has a book out called Tough Love. We need more tough love in the world. See, people get it mixed up. My dad, my great dad, Daniel White Jr., one of the most loving men in the world that I've ever seen in my life and anywhere. Very loving man, very gracious, very forgiving. Exemplified the spirit of Christ as far as love goes, but he didn't understand that love is not just letting people have their way and excusing them. Love means also tearing their behinds up when they're wrong. Love means risking losing the relationship to rebuke them if they're doing evil. And doing ungodliness. And because you have to be the messenger, if you love them, to tell them the truth. Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross brought in the era of true light and true love. Real love. As we move on from the first verse in this passage, let's look at some additional background knowledge and understanding surrounding this passage from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, edited by Dr. Walvert and Dr. Zupp, two chief theologians. You say, well, preacher, why do you do that? I do this because everybody has their gift. And you need to recognize that in the church and stop trying to be everything. You're not. If you got a man over here who's read the passage 1,000 times and dug into it and read every book on it and everything, you need to tap into that and use it instead of trying to be original. There's no such thing in the first place. And we got folks in the pulpit today trying to be cute and trying to be original, and they're talking stupidly. So you use the gifts that God has provided in the church. And I want you to know what the Word of God says. I don't care if it's original with me or not. So they said it follows that anyone who claims to be in the light, that is the light of Jesus, but hates his brother is still in the darkness of the world. The darkness of the devil. See, the devil is the one who's behind hate. The devil is the one who hates you so much that he wants you destroyed. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so many Christians, so-called, have been devoured by the devil because of hatred. So many marriages have been destroyed in evangelical churches. Bible-believing churches, Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches, Independent Baptist churches, Bible-believing Bible Baptist churches, Bible churches, evangelical free churches. I'm not talking about the Catholics. I'm not talking about the Pentecostals right now. And so many families have been destroyed in the charismatic movement. It's just, why? Because many of them don't have a biblical foundation. And some are now even questioning the Bible. The so-called holiness movement. Quite frankly, not everybody, but many are unholy and living unholy lives. It is a mess. It is a mess. But thank God some are repenting. Thank God. Now let me tell you something. Some of you are wondering about Benny Hinn. You think he's trying to pull something. I believe God got a hold of his heart. And he knows this thing, this evil, this foolishness, this prosperity gospel mess has gotten out of hand, and he said so. He's risking a whole lot. He's risking being sued. He knows it has destroyed marriages. He knows it has destroyed families. He knows it has taken people's eyes off Christ and put it on money. And got folks out here in debt, trying to fake it till they make it. He knows that Christianity has never been, historically, has never been about that. And so as he is coming out of that foolishness, everybody who follow him into it ought to come out as well. And so my brothers, Dr. Walvern and Dr. Zuck, continue. They said, this warning is clearly intended for Christians, as the words his brother plainly show, an unsaved person can indeed hate a brother, but since he has no spiritual brother of physical kin, but since he has no spiritual kin, he cannot really hate his spiritual brother. He has no spiritual kin. He's not born again. Okay? If John thought that no Christian could hate another Christian, there was no need to personalize the relationship with the word his. But the opinion held by some that a true Christian could never hate another Christian is naive and contrary to the Bible and experience. Even so great a man as King David was guilty of murder, which is the final expression of hate. And I don't believe, I personally don't believe David hated Uriah. I believe he was trying to cover up his sin. But murder is bad. You got to have something wrong in your heart to kill somebody else for whatever reason. John was warning his readers against a spiritual danger that is all too real. And he was affirming that a Christian who can hate his fellow Christian has not genuinely escaped from the darkness of this present age. And I believe that that is true. If you can walk around with hatred in your heart towards other people, something is wrong somewhere. To put it another way, he has much to learn about God. and cannot legitimately claim an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not if you hate people. Not if you hate your wife, sir. Not if you hate your husband, ma'am. There's something wrong somewhere. If you hate your children and your children and the children hate the parents, there's something. You're not born again. You're not saved. If you're constantly contemplating doing harm to somebody in your family or in your church or in the neighborhood, there's something wrong in your heart. You do not have an intimate relationship with the Lord. You don't, and you probably don't even know Him, Jesus Christ. If he really knew Christ as he ought, he would love his brother. End of quote. As Christians, beloved, we are called by Jesus to be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of it. Instead of sitting in the darkness of the world, like some of you now are stewing in hatred and bitterness and resentment at people in your family, in your church, towards your pastor and his wife, and his children, towards others who you are envious of because God is using them in a greater way, you think. Not recognizing the gifts that God has given to you, and you have hatred in your heart. We, as Christians, should shine the light of Christ upon those who surround us. And by the way, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the mark of true maturity in Christ is that you don't hate anybody. And you're happy for everybody, even if they surpass you. It's not fake, it's not phony, because you know God is like that. God will bless. God has blessed you, and you know it. And God will bless you more if you would line up with Him and do what you know you should do. But you're happy, you're genuinely happy for others because you love others through Christ. And you genuinely want the best for them. Even if you have to part ways with somebody, you love them and you want the best for them, but you've had to decide to feed this one out of a long-handled spoon. I still love you, but I don't trust you. And I can't depend upon you. You're not faithful. And you lie a whole lot. You lie all the time. Sometimes you got to love people at a distance. And you got to change your passwords. And you got to protect yourself from some devils. Some even in the church who claim to be saved. But they slick. And while they're praising the Lord with their unholy hands up in the air, they'll steal your blind. Yet the spirit of hatred that is prevalent in so many supposed to be Christians is a rejection of the light of Christ and an acceptance of the darkness of the world. They claim to be bearers of God's light, but their faith doesn't make an impact on their life in causing them to cease walking in hatred towards their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I have so much more to preach to you today, but I'm going to cut it short, but I have a beautiful hymn. And I'll pick it up tomorrow. The Lord tarries his coming and we live. I have a beautiful hymn that I just love. I fell in love with it when I first heard it. We sing it sometimes at our communion services at the end. John Fawcett wrote, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship our spirit finds," watch this, "is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and oneness reign through all eternity. Let's stand for a word of prayer. If you are a Christian listening today, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins, whatever they might be, and especially of hatred. You already know what they are. Could be other sins. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. To repent of their sins and get back to their first love. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for our time together. We thank you for our time together around your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for all of our friends in Russia, all of our friends in China, in the underground church. They still listen to this poor preacher, even though they're under great pressure. All of our thousands of friends in Nigeria who are under persecution by the devil and the group that he is using over there. Comfort them and protect them. And give them your grace to go through. All of our friends in the Philippines, all of our friends in Kenya, all of our thousands of friends in India, and Lord, we, all of our friends in Europe, in Great Britain, Lord, I pray that you'll help all of us as Christians and believers to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our evil ways, especially of hatred of anybody. I believe people hate family members more than they hate other races. Some people hate brothers and sisters in their church more than they hate others, and it's amazing how these hypocrites can love everybody else but their own family members. They think everybody else in Christianity is better than their own Christians they have at home. And so, Lord, help these people to stop being hypocrites and phonies and fakes, and help them to repent. For if they don't love their family members, how can they love you? If they don't love their family members, how can they say they love you? If they don't love their church members, their fellow church members, how can they love you? How can they love others? How can they love the lost? And we have some who act like they love the lost so much, but they don't love their brothers and sisters who are already saved. So Lord, help us all to acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, and repent. And all of that kind of hatred right there comes before the hatred of people of other races. And there's no way that you can love someone of another race. You don't love your own wife. You don't love your own husband. You don't love your own children. You don't love your own parents or your fellow church members or the lost. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody would get their hearts right with you. And, Lord, everybody knows what that means. And we pray that you'll grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And we pray today for the salvation of those who are lost, who see the hypocrisy and the failing in the church but still want Jesus. They still know somehow that Jesus is holy and perfect, and he's above even the failures and the weaknesses that are in his church. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears by the power of your Holy Spirit, and save them today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. Black, white, red, yellow, and brown. We all have fallen down before God. We all have done evil from the Pope on down, from your greatest preacher on down. We are all sinners. And we have not met God's holy standard, none of us. The only somebody who did, his name is Jesus, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. Always, we know it. C.S. Lewis said one of the evidences that God exists is because we all have a conscience. We all have a conscience. This is deep thinking, gifted thinking. We already know when we're wrong, universally. He said, universally we know that adultery is wrong. Universally, we know, no matter what language you're in, lying is wrong. Universally, we know, no matter what country you're in, stealing is wrong. Why? 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 Because there's a God somewhere and he made us. And we have a constitution on the inside of us. We have the law written in our hearts. We have a conscience. Every last one of us. Dishonoring and disrespecting your parents, you know is wrong. A wife who does not submit to her husband and help her husband, she knows it's wrong. Not only does he give us a conscience, but he gives us instincts. We know what we ought to be doing. We know our role. But we rebel against it. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is bad. Death is terrible. But the reason why we die is because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave one day, and you don't know when. Our soul goes to hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. Thirdly, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. You've already done enough. We all have to go to hell. One lie will get you into hell. One lie. What? But one lie. Yes, one lie. You've broken the whole law. That's what the Bible says. You broke. If you tell one lie, and that's all you did, you broke the whole law. And you're on your way to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." Keep on doing what you're doing, which is the second death. Adulterers are going to hell. Adulteresses are going to hell, male and female. By the way, there's no racism in hell. Red, yellow, black, and white, and brown would be in hell. They're in hell right now. Liars would be in hell. Homosexuals would be in hell. They're on their way to hell. Those who steal are going to be in hell, and they're in hell right now. If you don't repent and trust Christ as Savior, or trust Christ as Savior and repent, that's where you're going. So hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." That is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, don't I have to do something?" No, you, there's nothing you can do. "Well, don't I have to pay something?" You don't have enough money. I don't care if you have $100 billion. You don't have enough money to pay for this salvation. All you have to do is, by the grace of God, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And I assure you that if you call upon him to save you, if you would receive him into your heart, he'll save your soul. For the Bible makes it very clear in Romans 10:9-13, and that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And dear friend, if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, and pray and ask him to save you, he will save you. and I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Please pray with me this simple prayer. Mean it from your heart. Repeat after me phrase by phrase, believing in your heart on none other than Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things before. In my heart, I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I've disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or gls@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email you see on your screen where you are, and let us know so that we can rejoice with you. We know that heaven is rejoicing. And we have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, next time will be tomorrow. God loves you. We love you by his grace. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.